up, everyone? This week we're talking about two movies. One poses the question, what if the Beatles never existed? Which is a hellish nightmare to even imagine. The other one is, what if there were lightsabers, but not actual lightsabers? And what movie could make me cry the most? Turns out it was The Adam Project. So those are these two movies. I'm Josh.
And I'm Justin.
This is Screen Bros. Let's get into it.
All right.
So our first movie, Yesterday. This is definitely... I felt like after watching Tenet and that freaking Brightburn. It was such a nice change of pace. It was like something uplifting. Definitely one of my favorite movies. I mean, soundtrack obviously is amazing. You know, right off the bat, but I don't know. Do you want to? Oh, this is the one I picked, so I'm gonna kind of give a quick little synopsis here. Musician who's really struggling, about ready to call it quits, is riding his bike home. He's gonna go back to teaching. My note for him was, "Don't do it." but just saying. Don't do it. But then this blackout across the world goes off. He gets hit by a bus, wakes up in the hospital the next day, and everyone besides him has never heard of the Beatles. So this movie, I mean, there's a lot of like that question of, is it morally okay? I mean, if these people have never written the music, you know it.
Yeah.
I mean, do you take advantage of it or not? And that was a question I kept asking. Was like, do you, right? I mean, it's tough, it's a tough thing
because, and you definitely see that at the start. Like, you know, movie starts out, he's a struggling musician, you know, and his manager, Ellie or L, is just, you know, rooting him on and trying to just encourage him to keep going, but he's kind of losing faith, and the bus hits him, and you know, he remembers all these songs and he starts playing them for, you know, his friends and Elle, and they're like, when did you write this? What is this? And it's funny, he thinks everybody's trolling him. And so, and then he goes home and he's just like, okay, wait a minute.
The amount of times they go back to whenever he finds out more and more of things that don't exist, every time just got funnier and funnier. I like that it just like it goes back to that same music.
Yep.
And just the typing.
Yep.
No coke. No cigarettes. Nope. Oasis. For some reason, Oasis didn't exist either. I wrote that. I'm like, why Oasis?
Is there just like out of all,
understanding.
Is it like just a certain brand of pop? I don't know. Harry Potter doesn't exist.
That's right. Harry Potter doesn't exist.
Yeah, because he's...
What a hellish nightmare.
He says, I feel like Voldemort. I feel like Harry Potter when I defeat Voldemort. And Elle's like, what? Oops. And he's like, never mind. Gosh, dude. No, it was definitely a feel-good movie, and yeah, like you said, from Tenet and Brightburn last week, holy smokes, this was a nice week to watch movies. So he gets hit by the bus. Everybody just totally forgot the Beatles existed. And yeah, he's like, am I going to do this? Am I actually going to do this? And he starts playing these songs. And I laughed a lot, when he was trying to show his family, just, trying to sing Let It Be, and the family and the friends come over, and the freaking phone call where he's just like, yeah, he started on music again. I know. He's like, what do you know?
Just, dad is just the best.
Yeah.
His dad is the best. Just, and the neighbor, it's like, oh, they keep messing up the title of it. Yeah. He's like, it's Let It Be.
It's just like
the greatest song of all time.
It's just like, it's the greatest song of all time. Wow, somebody got cocky. Okay. It's like, oh, he's playing Let Her Be. Let It Be.
Well, Let Her Be.
Hey, play Summer Song. Gosh!
Oh, yeah, Summer Song. Well, I wrote down, I was like, he wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad.
He wasn't that bad.
I was just like, oh, dude, actually, Summer Song's pretty dope. I would listen to it.
Me too.
But, oh my gosh.
It's not on the level of the Beatles, but.
No, it's not it's definitely like, and I feel like probably over there, their judgment of music is just like, well, it's not the Beatles, so you suck. So it's just like, stop trying to be like that.
So when he first starts, the beginning of the movie is like, really, that was it. Like, struggling artist, no one remembers the Beatles, plays Yesterday. Like, this is amazing. And here comes the realization. Oh, I can remember these songs.
Yep.
And make a career out of it. But I wrote the question, like, if they were written today, would people, in the beginning when he first starts, like, no one's really into it until Gavin.
Yeah.
That producer shows up.
Just starts.
No one was really into it.
Yeah, nobody was really into it. And yeah, so it begs the question, like, okay, so, and like, even thinking about today, because when was that filmed? Like, that was in the timeline of like 2018, 2019?
It's before COVID, so 20 years ago.
Nice. that joke hits rough. It's
just every single time.
Every single time.
You're all sad.
Because I feel like I aged 20 years in COVID. But.
My hairline, did not move forward. It definitely went backwards.
Yeah, no, my hairline got uneven, and I was just like, what the frick happened? But it's probably all the radiation that where I live, because it's leaking into the ground. Anyways,
moving on,
we won't get into that. But, gosh, I already forgot what I was saying. Gavin finds him. Oh, no, yeah. So, I'm even thinking today, like 2024, if music like the Beatles, so we're talking about back in the USSR, like, would anybody know, like, any of this?
No.
Like, Eleanor Rigby, nobody knows Strawberry Fields. They're just like, what is this talking about? And the certain instrumentation that they have, it's like, would it actually be popular nowadays? We might be surprised, because... I think the movie answers itself, because I think, you know, and this guy, Jack Malik, although honestly, good looking dude, but in the movie he is purposely made to look kind of just like a deadbeat, like slob a little bit. Not like terrible, but
I will say though, now this is jumping ahead. There's a part, it's not spoiling too much, we'll get to it, but when he's on the rooftop, that blue suit I wrote down, I was like, I want that blue suit.
That was an awesome blue suit, and I was just like, I'd rock that, no doubt. But yeah, no, so this guy, yeah, no, so it defeats, like, okay, it doesn't matter what you look like, it's just these songs and all that stuff. And I think maybe in this day and age, it's still like, if nobody knew who the Beatles were, which honestly, like, that's becoming more and more of a reality at this point. It's sad.
I don't know. I mean, I've got a lot of students that know the Beatles. They're pretty.
Oh, that's
timeless, man.
That's good.
It is good. Like,
yeah,
there's kids that still like know who the Beatles are.
And, you know, maybe, yeah, maybe the movie answers that question of like, okay, no, like, the Beatles music is timeless, and like, doesn't matter who you are, it's the music that was played. But yeah, no, so this average looking dude, you know, works at a grocery store, you know, he's passing out his CDs because he like worked all night with Gavin and his friend Al of just producing this music, and looked like they were having a blast, and I was just like, gosh dang. But
that would be so much fun.
It would be fun just to sing that song or sing those songs like that. But then we get to then we get to the part that just comes out of left field. Like, yeah, they're driving, and then the dude gets a call, and it's just Ed Sheeran. It just comes out, and it's just like, hey, this is Ed Sheeran. It's just like, sorry? It's just like, oh, yeah, bad line, I guess.
All right, Steve.
Yeah, it just calls back, and it's just like, all right, Steve, where's Maria? Like, she's always there, right? It's just like, no, this is Ed Sheeran. Anyways, I liked your song. And he hangs up. I was thinking, like, it's just like, how's Steve? Just like, Ed Sheeran liked my music.
What's Ed Sheeran?
Just like, it was actually Ed Sheeran. My first thought, I wrote down, my first question was, how did he get his number?
It's Ed Sheeran. I'm sure
they all find ways. And then cuts to the next scene. Ed Sheeran shows up at this dude's house out of nowhere. And then I'm like, wait, how did he get his address? I'd be concerned. It's like, if Ed Sheeran showed up at my house, I'd be like, I would not be upset. I would be like, oh, hey, what's up? Also, how the heck did you find me?
I want to know.
Yeah, Ed Sheeran just shows up.
That's even better as the dad comes down and just like, hey, you look like Ed Sheeran.
Just like, I am Ed Sheeran. Well done.
Well done.
Well done. I love how the fact that the dad just comes in and is just like, do you know where the jam is? And Ed Sheeran's like, no. Just like, no. Opens the fridge.
The dad is the best. Calls him a ginger geezer.
Ginger geezer. Oh my god! Is that
Rocky?
Oh, that's Rocky! Rocky!
But Rocky's a roadie who's also like Jack's really like good friends. Not at the beginning, obviously, but by the end of it, like it's Uncle Rocky.
Yep.
Rocky's the best.
Rocky tells
Ed Sheeran, the rapping. Don't do it. Leave it to us.
leave it to the brothers. Okay. We don't need a ginger rapper. And then Ed Sheeran drops a bar, and Rocky's like, "Yeah, give me a second. Hold on." It's just like, get off my feet. Got to take a seat. All right.
Rocky, man.
Rocky. We're going back a little bit because we forgot about Rocky. How could we forget about Rocky? Is like we get introduced and he's like a stagehand. He's just like brings out the guitar.
Fired a stuff. Lot.
And then he just asks the guys, just like, hey, you want to come backstage? They're hanging out. And then cuts to like you see the actual performers in the background, and Rocky's just having a normal conversation with Jack, and he's like, oh crap. Walks up to the singer, gives the guitar, and he's just like, you're fired. Comes back and looks at Jack. He's just like, all right, give out my best, and just leaves. It's like, oh, he's used to this. He's used to this, guys. Dig.
But I think before we really moving, further, talking about L.
Yeah.
L's obviously like, that's been in love with him and supportive, and I just wrote down like, Jack, you're a moron.
Yeah,
I did not notice
because
she's driving you around like, I just, what are you doing,
dude? I it's been a while since I watched this movie before, but like as soon as like the movie started and I see the driving around and the joking and like how close they are, I was just like, oh bro, dude, she likes you, and you're an idiot, and you're just doing sets. It's just like, oh my gosh, she dropped me off, and she's like, what the? It's just like, dude, you're an idiot, and he becomes more of an idiot as we go forward. He plays a show with Ed Sheeran in Moscow, and has this like songwriter off kind of thing, like just like a write-off kind of thing. He goes into another room, writes a song, has 10 minutes, can't be anything, it has to be brand spanking new. And of course, Jack just pulled out a song that he already knew. It was a Beatles song.
On a winding road. How are you supposed to compete with that?
You can't. That is such a beautiful song. And then I laughed so hard. Just Ed Sheeran depressed. He's just like, yeah, somebody told me somebody better than me would come along. Gosh dang, you're Picasso and I'm just this dude. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Ed Sheeran.
I know, I wrote, like, poor Ed.
Poor Ed. Just poor freaking Ed, bro. But Ed's manager shows.
You have the villain of the movie. The antagonist, really.
Yeah, she's kind of. Kate McKinnon, which, gotta say, love Kate McKinnon in the movies that she does. She's just that.
Oh, me too.
She's that troll character. Like, you can't really take her seriously.
No, but she plays the psycho manager. Very well.
And like seeing the difference between this Kate McKinnon and then the Barbie Kate McKinnon. Yeah, that was a, she's got range, but she plays that psycho. She's got range. It's just like, nah, she's psycho. She just plays that psycho character very well.
There's something about you. Like, I don't want to mess with her.
Yeah.
Cause I don't, she's capable of
just like,
she I just feel, gives off that vibe.
I'm like, just like, I feel like if I say something stupid, I'm dead. Like my car is going to have not, you know, dents and scratches. It's going to have like cuts and my tires are going to be gone.
Homeless people are going to be able to be in it.
Yeah.
Do unspeakable things.
And if Kate McKinnon's not that, you know, crazy, then good on her. She's a really good actor. Anyways,
Moving on.
You know, Kate McKinnon shows up. She says, hey, we should talk. See you in Los Angeles tomorrow. And then goes home, has a going away party. And Elle's been drinking a little bit. She's a little like, and she says, like, since you're leaving, I can really just ask anything. And like, probably, honestly, the most heart-wrenching way a woman can ask a dude, like, why don't
you? Yeah, that was bad timing on her part.
It wasn't, very bad timing, and Jack was in a really tough situation, but the way she worded it, it was just like, why did I get stuck in the, you know, manager roadie column and not the I love her column? And I was like, oh no! I'm like, oh, that hurts.
Right.
Just, and then, you know,
no.
Of course, Dad comes in, the worst timing. Dad comes in, just like, hey, your mom's drunk. You should probably get downstairs. And, and then everybody's going like, Jack, we need you, Jack.
And sort of got the dad's the, like, just the VIP of the movie, man.
He really
just,
is. And so,
or MVP, I'm sorry, MVP.
MVP, yeah. He's VIP, MVP. But yeah, Jack's just like stuck in this very tense situation. He's getting like screamed at from the bottom of the stairs. And then the dad comes in again. It's just like, yeah, no, seriously, she's drunk. You really need to come down here.
She's drunk.
She's like, you. Everybody's calling your name. And so, and then it. That Jack probably does the most idiotic, going back to what you said, Jack, you're an idiot, goes back to the most idiotic thing you could do in that situation. He just leaves. He just walks downstairs.
Doesn't even say anything.
He just
pretty much said put a damper on the thing or like something like that, like about the timing.
Yeah, it's just like, this is terrible timing. And then Dad comes in and then just they stare at each other and then he just leaves and you're like, oh, freaking Jack. Just you're an idiot. And then we go on and, you know, Jack's getting more famous. He's receiving this love and appreciation and adoration from people that he's always dreamed about. And
the record going, they're going to put a record together. They have that marketing meeting, which I think that marketing meeting scene is very frustrating because I feel like it's way too accurate.
Yep.
Like how the music industry operates now.
Oh, yeah. No, the thing that Kate McKinnon says where it's just it's the most accurate thing is just like, hey, you're going to sign a record deal. You're going to make music. We're going to release it. You're going to make a lot of money and we're going to take most of it. And I was just like, oh, yep. Yeah, that's the music industry.
Then F those people, like when he was like given the album titles, mm-hmm. Abbey Road, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. I was like, F you for saying no to any of those.
Yeah.
Then I really laughed because it was the White Album.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, you know, diversity issues. And Jack's like, how?
Just, yeah, how?
He's on the cover.
And then he goes to a scene where it's just like, and my favorite scene is just, honestly, the part was just like, man, I could really just smoke a cigarette right now. And Rocky's like, yeah. What's a cigarette? And he's like, what? Cigarette. He's just.
Music comes back.
Just like.
Hypes it up.
Hypes it up, cigarette. And it's just like, oh, man. But yeah, he, this famous life kind of gets to him. But as we're going through the movie, we see these certain people in the crowd who are not like, you know, cheering. They're more dumbfounded.
Sorry to interrupt. The first one was in Moscow.
Oh yeah, that's right. He was in Moscow, and I laughed at the face he made because he just really just was like, didn't look like you. He looked like he was gone, just mentally. Just
Well, I know because I think it was the realization of like, I don't know if he didn't. Realized that no one knew who the Beatles were, or the fact that he was playing it. See, then he goes back to his computer to look up, Beatles, right?
Yeah, and so maybe like, I think that was his like way of like that's how he found out. Like he woke up still remembering the Beatles, and the Beatles hasn't been talked about forever. So it's like, so he goes to this Ed Sheeran show and starts hearing these songs, and he's like. And like everybody's going, and he's just looking around, and everybody's like going along with it, and he's looks up Jack Malik.
They ever heard it?
Yep. And then, you know, we see that, and then cuts a little bit later. Jack's a little bit more famous. It's doing that, and then we see another character. We see a woman Jack is going through Strawberry Fields, trying to get inspiration. Which is really just him trying to remember the lyrics to Eleanor Rigby. And you see this woman.
My favorite song.
It's a great song. But we see this woman, and she has the same face of like, huh, like, it's kind of weird.
She's Penny Lane. She's putting that all together. Yeah. Like, he's going to those locations.
Yeah, kind of hard to write songs that you've never been before. Like, and so it's like,
wait.
Yep.
Nice. That was from the movie, everyone. Well done, Justin.
Hey, yep. That's what I do. I steal jokes and steal lines. What? What?
That's it. That's the end of Screen Brothers, everyone. We don't need to continue.
We don't,
that's it.
Yep.
Accomplished our goal.
There we go. Wait, really? That's good. Oh.
That's good.
But freaking A. No, and then, you know, we go through the... We keep going through the movie, and like that's the whole entire like kind of movie. You know, we're seeing like he's, you know, he's gaining fame, but this feeling of like regret is starting to kick in, like
guilt.
Just guilt, and like he starts having dreams. Yeah. He starts having dreams where he's like he's on the James Corden show, and you know the actual Beatles comes out, and he's like, huh? And then. Then we get closer and closer to the end.
Can I pause you really quick there? Because there was something I want to talk about James Corden that I had to ask. Is that motherfucker always that close to his guests?
Yep.
Like, right there?
Yep.
That's weird.
I think like...
That's it. That's all I have.
He gets really close. I know that.
I don't like it. I was like, why is he so close to him?
Yeah, no, like, and so you have James Corden just looking at you like, did you write those like, songs? And he's just like, yeah?
Back off, James Corden.
Just like, step off.
Everyone wearing cats? Step off.
Oh my gosh, that was a good one. Remember when you were in that terrible movie?
What a... couldn't even.
Gosh.
Tried to watch it as a joke, just for fun. Couldn't even do it.
I'm sorry, but, you know, here's the thing. We would have to get a lot of viewers to say that we need to watch Cats before I even...
We got a certain amount of viewers. If you're listening, please subscribe. Remember, I need a PS5. if brought to you by Blockbuster. No, Baked Potato Games.
We wish. We want to.
We wish. If you're listening, please... We'll sponsor us.
Yeah, we'll definitely be reaching out. Just being like, hey,
we are sponsored by one. It's a Sofa King. Because our prices are so fucking low. Thank you. Sofa King. That's our sponsor.
Gosh, dude.
And we are back.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
It's a little treat for some of my coworkers.
Hey. Enjoy that.
We were at James Corden. I totally
agree. Yeah, James Corden.
Derail. James Corden.
But
he sucks. He sits too close to his guests. Got close, it.
But yeah, we're seeing Jack just kind of lose it. He's getting guiltier and guiltier. He's can't really deal with the stress of the popularity. And you know, Elle, and guess what? Elle comes back into the picture. She comes to visit him, on his travels, and Jack just keeps messing up.
They start drinking
and then they kiss and she didn't want
to be the one night stand.
Good for her. And it's just like, and Jack was just like, you're not going to be the one night stand. When do you leave? Tomorrow. That's a one night stand. And I was just like, Elle, you're the best.
She goes again, man, every time she gets
like, and every time that I see, cause like Elle, yeah. Elle is definitely top tier. And I was just like, gosh, Jack, you're so bloody stupid. Just like,
but you choose. I mean, I get, and it's the cautionary tale of fame and fortune.
Yeah, you know? and
taking that,
and then we get to the point where you know he's about to do that show with you know that blue suit. That blue suit looks good.
On the rooftop. Just like the Beatles.
And I was just like, okay, and. That, you know, he sees Elle and all that stuff, and he plays this music, and then we see those two characters come into play, and he's expecting, you know, just to be, like, we're expecting, like, oh, like, these people are gonna, like, blackmail him, and no, it was...
So I thought, too, I was like, oh my god, they're gonna just, like, try to out him.
Yeah, they're gonna try and out him, they're gonna try and do this, but no, it was more of like, hey,
so sweet.
Just like, hey, you know what? Like, a world without the Beatles is a world that I don't want to live in. So as long as we still have the music, like, we're good. And I was just like, and Jack's like, yeah, just like, thank God.
I'm so happy. I thought you were going to like murder me.
You were going to murder me. It's just like, I feel so guilty, like writing these songs. And then the lady hands him a note, and it's just like, we did a lot of digging. And I was just like, gosh dang. And so we see Jack driving.
Can we pause before we get to that part?
Yeah.
Emotionally prepare myself. I just want to say, like, the part when he's singing Help Me.
Oh, yeah.
The emotion. When he's screaming Help Me. Every time I watch it, I get just like that chill.
Yeah.
Just the man. Tell, man. He's awesome.
And you see Elle like kind of picking it up. Like, I know Jack. Like, he's not, that's real. And so. Right. So we get to, you know, Jack's driving, and he's driving up to this cottage. Yeah, and you're thinking like, okay, what the frick is this? And you're thinking, no way, are we about to see what we're about to see? And knocks on the door, and who is it?
John Lennon.
John freaking Lennon. And it just, oh, I was like, no way. I
cry every time.
I was like, gosh dang. And he has this heart to heart with John Lennon and has some pretty freaking solid advice. Just like, hey, it's simple. Tell the girl that you love, her, and tell the truth whenever you can. And
well, he was fighting with the question of like, is it worth it? Like, what's the point? What does it solve?
Mm-hmm.
And kind of learns the purpose of like, you know, at least in this world,
mm-hmm.
John Lennon gets to live.
Yeah. So it's just like John Lennon. So it's just like the role reversal on that. And since Jack looked up to this guy, most definitely, and seen like, hey, like we kind of switched roles here. Like this simple life versus the famous life. Like, yeah, it's they're toying with this question. It's just like, was it good? And John Lennon's like, yeah, it was good. And it's just like, but it's life. So there was bad parts and there were also good parts. It was just like, that's life. But
he asked the best question. Can I give you a hug?
And it's just like, yeah.
You're an odd one. You're an odd man.
You're an odd man.
Can I hug you?
Gosh. But no, we round up the movie and he plays this. He calls Ed Sheeran. He's just like, hey, can you do a favor? One sec. You're probably going to have to cut this. All right. Night.
Hey.
Guy.
All right. Mom says good night.
Night, Mom.
Night, Mom.
Oh, okay. That's right.
That's right. Yeah. Say it like the way I said it.
Night, Mom. All right.
There you go.
We can cut that part out. But, yeah, no. Calls up Ed Sheeran.
Oh, we're leaving that.
Ah, frick. All right. So.
I'm just kidding. We're going to cut that. We're definitely cutting it.
Definitely cutting it. But, all right. Give it a few seconds. All right. So we get. Jack calls up Ed Sheeran. Just like, hey, can I ask a favor? Basically to play a show. And this is where he's just going to admit, like, these are not his songs and all that stuff. And you would expect, you know, everybody's there, the manager, which is the antagonist, everybody's there, L. And while also for Jack is still an idiot in my book, even at the end. Cause like, I don't know. The last thing I would do is put the girl that I should have been with on the Jumbotron. Like this big screen for
piss her off more.
Hundreds of thousands of people, and then say like "I love you," and then just because L like after because L you know was smart, she went after a guy that actually gave her the time that she you know wanted. You know, it was Gavin, and so
Gavin
was in the thing, and so I was just like, Jack, you're kind of a dick. Still, you're kind of
no. I'm like, poor Gavin.
Just I like mean, yeah, like but
I don't think it made sense, but
also like Gavin got like
Gavin. It all didn't make sense, but
Gavin got a girl, so he's fine. But anyways, yeah, no. Jack admits like
that's true. He does.
Yeah, Jack admits like, hey, this girl right here, love her. I'm an idiot, but also these aren't my songs. And you know, you're expecting like boo, and the crowd's just like, no, we still love you, Jack. Like you're still good.
Well, I mean, he does say he won't take any of the money.
Yeah, he
which
won't.
I think is cool.
Yeah, and he won't take any.
Gives all the music away for free, which of course hits us off Kate McKinnon's character because she's the corporate.
Yeah, and she's
music industry shill or
greedy. Like she wants the money, all that stuff, and so
right.
They're making their escape and. You know, ends happily ever after. Jack gets the girl in the most convoluted way, and probably the most complicated, which kind of this movie kind of answers the question is that, and because Elle kind of mentions it, is that I can't even recognize you. Like, with this music, I can't even recognize you. And so, like, this girl loved him because he was real and he was authentic. And when he started playing these,
just himself, yeah.
When he started playing the songs that weren't him, like, he just became something else that Elle could not recognize. And so being real and true to yourself, especially if, you know, from an artist's perspective or, you know, a normal perspective, like, you know, be true, be real to yourself, just be you. And somebody will come along and love you for it. And just like, even though you think you're trash,
for you.
Yeah, exactly. Just like, you can sit there and think I'm trash. Shut up. You can sit there and think I'm trash, but no, then somebody's going to be like, oh no, you're actually pretty freaking fire. But yeah, that's yesterday.
Everyone needs themselves an L.
Yup. Everybody needs an L. Everybody wishes for an L, but, yesterday was a very, definitely, like we said at the beginning, comparatively to what we watched last week, this was a nice change of pace. Like, it was a feel good movie for sure.
Parker, I love this movie, and if anyone listening has never watched it, just cannot recommend it enough. It's not a sappy rom com. Mm. I mean, it's got Rocky.
Yeah,
Rocky's the best.
We love Rocky. You know,
great soundtrack.
Yep.
A fun concept.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think, I just like, first time watching, I'm like, I've never really watched just a movie that has just this crazy concept like this. Such an original type of idea.
Yeah, it's just like, hey, like, that's what movies should be. Like, hey, let's play with this idea. Like, what if the Beatles never existed except like a handful of people in the world remember this band? And so, no, a great movie. Can't recommend it enough. It's definitely one of those things. If you love the Beatles, if you want like a feel good movie, put on Yesterday for sure. 100%.
So good.
And then when we switch to the Adam Project, which honestly, tearjerker. Wasn't expecting it to be like, I've watched it before and I watched it again, and it's still, I still choke up every time, but we'll get into that. Adam Project with Ryan Reynolds, and basically Ryan Reynolds Jr., which is Walker Scobell. Ryan Reynolds plays this time traveling, kind of military guy, goes back in time on his own mission, and we meet younger version of Ryan Reynolds. That's the character that Walker plays. But this basically is a movie of like, hey, we're set in the future. What would happen if your older self met your younger self and you go on a crazy adventure to try and defeat time travel.
Save
the future.
Yeah.
Gosh dang. This movie, around great cast. Yeah, honestly. Ryan Reynolds, of course. You gotta love Ryan Reynolds. And then Mark Ruffalo as the dad.
Always the best.
Gosh dang. Great.
This one was so enjoyable.
Mm.
I'm mad that I haven't watched it before. Dude. It's like right up, you know, just a good, like, it's one Ryan Reynolds,
yep,
Ruffalo, Jennifer Garner.
Mm-hmm.
The kid was great. I didn't hate this kid. Didn't want to punch him.
Thank God. You really didn't want to, because he was just fun.
He was a good kid.
And
he was a good kid.
Great actor.
You know, smaller.
Yeah.
Good actor. Definitely, I was like, that's definitely like a younger Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, yeah.
Convincing.
Gosh.
So, like, the start of the movie, I'm like, trying to like figure out, I'm like, okay, he's going back in time. So, what's he going back in time for? So, it's like I was just coming up with predictions. I was like, oh, he's going to save his mom. That's what I was going off of.
Yeah.
And I find out the dad died. I was like, eventually, I was like, save the dad.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. wasn't that at all, which we'll get to. But I was just like, you know, I was trying to make those predictions early on.
Yeah, I definitely remember because I've seen this movie before, and the first time I watched it, it was when it came out because I saw it and it was like Ryan Reynolds, and I saw the trailer of just the marketing for this movie, just seeing how this little kid and Ryan Reynolds and all this cast got along. I was just like, this just looks to be a good movie because of the fact of how well these people, not the characters, just these actors are getting along. They just seem to enjoy their time together. And I was just like, okay, that's just a movie I want to watch.
I think it's because the director, seeing who it was, made sense at the end. It's Sean Levy.
Yep.
So like Night at the Museum, mm-hmm. Stranger Things,
mm-hmm.
that guy, Free Guy, you know, the Ryan Reynolds video game movie.
Yep.
That's Sean Levy.
So
it definitely had that very like exciting, adventurous, fun.
Yeah. It definitely
still, like,
yeah,
a humanity to it. That's very emotional. Mm. We'll get to that part.
Gosh, we keep saying it like we can't stress it enough for the people who haven't seen it. Just, we're going to say this right now. Go watch this movie 100%. But we start out where, you know, Ryan Reynolds' character is flying through space, getting shot at. And you're like, we're just right in, like, no questions asked. And then it cuts to like the building of the story, the introduction to, you know, younger Adam Reed, and then the mom, they're going through the death of the dad. And so, younger Adam is kind of just closed off. He doesn't want to, kind of just giving the mom the cold shoulder, and mom's just trying to love on him. And
while grieving herself, but she can't grieve herself because she's trying to be there for herself.
Yeah. And so you kind of pick up on that like very fast. And you're just like, this, like when I saw that, I was just like, oh, I know this is going to hurt. This is going to hurt. But you know, if you want to take it.
Well, I mean, we come to like, so we have the, I mean, it's obvious that it's just the younger Ryan Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't really hide it. And then, like, we have a crash landing. And it kind of gave me, like, E.T. vibes a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, like, we find Ryan Reynolds in the garage, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was, like, the key, like, clue that it was definitely him.
What's up, Josh?
Hey, what's up, man? It was so much fun, by the way.
Yep.
Enjoyed visiting with all of you.
Got your name.
I'm going to have to cut that part out now.
No, it's, yeah. We'll cut that out, but definitely it was fun. Yeah, these guys, they all said.
It was fun.
They all said, like, you guys are, we're all freaking awesome.
Well, good. The three, I always worry of, like, am I going to, like, offend someone?
No, they found you hilarious. And then,
good.
They thought Ray was funny. But definitely later into the night, always, where like it was you, me, and David, out on the patio, they were just laughing up a storm with what we were doing, especially with, you know, friggin'
Creed night.
Oh yeah. Friggin' red solo cups, Creed, just flannels, just dancing. Yeah.
Oh,
gosh dang. That, yeah.
Anyways,
definitely should have recorded a podcast while we were together, but it's all right.
Oh, I know. Damn.
It's all right. One of these times we'll get David in here.
Right. Man. Okay, so here we go. We come across Ryan Reynolds in the garage.
Yep.
Totally gives away that it's him. Is that the dog?
Mm-hmm.
Sitting there, and the dog's in his lap, and he's petting him. I was like, "Oh, that dog is very comfortable with him." So that's obviously him from the future.
Yeah, because I was just like, "Yeah, that's a golden retriever."
Really know, like, right?
Yeah. So
it's like,
yeah,
kind of like it alludes. A lot of things are confidential. You keep saying, "Oh, it's confidential." It's confidential.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're like, it's kind of learning that he's in the wrong, hit the wrong year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, how old are you? You know, what year? Like, it's like 12. It's, you know, wrong year. Crap.
Mm.
And then he comes to realize it's him from the future because they have like the same kind of the watch.
Yeah.
Scar.
And how how when Ryan Reynolds comes into the house and does the same things that he usually does as like a routine, opens the fridge door, grabs something, the fridge doesn't fully close, so he uses his foot to
kicks it,
you know, kicks it closed, knows where everything's at, like by memory.
Right.
And this younger guy is like, "What the fudge?" And
that's like, that's for me.
And then sees all his, you know, his shiny toys, you know, and he starts playing with this, playing with stuff, and he's just like, "Don't touch that." He's just like, "Gosh, you're insufferable." It's just like, "Gosh, you're more insufferable than I remember." And you're like, "What?"
That is very relatable. That's so relatable.
Yeah, no.
Like, if I were to go back to my 12-year-old self, I'd probably say the exact same thing.
Oh yeah, if I went back to my 12-year-old self, I think I've mentioned this before on another episode, but like the Facebook memories that come up, I look back on those and I'm like, God, I need to delete Facebook and just delete every shred of evidence that I was ever on Facebook. Cause some of the things I was saying, I was like, I said that? Like, what was I at mentally?
Most of mine were like, sitting in the circuit central getting a coffee. I'm like, no one cares.
Yeah.
Who cares that you're getting a coffee at the circ?
I'm like, I'm sharing pictures and I'm thinking, like, back then I was probably like, yeah, this is awesome. And then now I'm looking back, I'm like,
it's cool.
Just like, it had one leg, dumbass. Like, nobody cared. Nobody cared.
In the end, it didn't matter.
It didn't matter. Nice. But
thank you.
Friggin'. But anyways, yeah, no. Ryan Reynolds just says the most relatable line that we could ever look back when we see, think of our cringy selves. It's that, gosh, you it's are annoying.
Great. Way more inseparable.
But then, the soundtrack. Let's just, before we go any further, the soundtrack to the movie.
Right. That's two movies. I was like, two movies, great soundtracks. Boom, right there. It's, we got a connection.
So
great soundtrack.
Good, because it's like, even the part where like they're having this one-on-one conversation of like, oh, this, it's actually like reality. Like, we're the same. The music in the background, I'm like, bro, whoa. I'm like, this is perfect. But gosh dang. This movie, definitely just one of those ones to watch if you haven't seen it. But
this is a really good one.
So
we discover that it's Ryan Reynolds. Mm. You know, it goes back to the past. It's him. Really find out that looking for his wife. His dad's really tied into it. There was them before we get further. It's like, what are you talking about too? Like, you know, go easy on your mom, man. Like.
Mm-hmm.
She's going through something, like showing him that, and then when he's at the bar with her.
Oh yeah. Oh, the bar scene.
Yes. I know. I'm like, this must be the sad part that Justin said that I was going to cry at, because I'm like kind of getting choked up at the bar scene.
Yeah.
It's not the scene apparently, but.
Nope. Absolutely not.
To see your mom, like who at his time passed away.
Mm-hmm.
I got worried though, because I did write in the notes when she sees him at the bar.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, it's going to be Back to the Future and she's going to be attracted to him. Boom, it's Back to the Future.
I thought the same exact thing when I was first watching. I was like, no, please don't give me it. Because Christopher Lloyd is in this movie. And so it's like, I was like, please don't pull him back to the future. Please, no. But no, it's, and you gotta remember, Ryan Reynolds' version. Like Ryan Reynolds' version and his perception of it is that he actually never like made amends with his mom. He never actually like he always held that regret and just distanced himself.
Yeah, that's true.
And then when she passed, he regretted it. And so that's why he's telling his younger self, like, yo, you need to chill on your mom. And so goes to the bar scene, sees the mom, and he's talking to her and, you know, trying his best to say it in like a third party perspective. Like, I have no idea who you are or what you're going through, but slips up a little bit, but
I kind of know a lot.
Just like, but I kind of know you and what you're really going through, 'cause I was there, kind of thing. And you're kind of like trying to follow along with the conversation. Doesn't help that, you know, when he crash landed, he got injured. So he had to put on clothes, and he had to put on his dad's clothes. And so, you know, the wife, And I was just like, first of all, I wrote down, damn, Ryan Reynolds looks good in that jacket, even if it's tight. Like,
I wrote the same thing. I'm like, I want that. I'm like, I want that jacket.
I want that jacket. It's a good looking jacket. I want
that jacket.
But
I want the blue suit from yesterday. Yeah, jacket from, you know, Adam Project.
All right. Birthday list is made.
Please subscribe to our podcast so I can afford both of those.
Please subscribe so Josh here can get a PS5 and a blue suit.
A blue suit and a jacket.
And a jacket. Project.
Really selfish reasons.
But hey, if he gets the PS5, maybe he'll wear it on the podcast and you'll see it. So it just works. And I will.
I'd wear the jacket.
You'd wear the suit. It'd be perfect. And the mom, jumping back to it, the mom was just like, my husband had that jacket. And Ryan was like, oh yeah, it's a very popular jacket. It's just like,
I just kind of was like, how do you not kind of feel like something's off?
Yeah.
You don't recognize him. 'Cause the dad recognizes him.
Yeah. Wait, I didn't pick up on that.
Now when he's auditing the class,
and
he's like, Adam, the mom, and then
that's crazy. Because I didn't pick up on that. What? Hold on.
I was just thinking about that now. Because he says it before he sees the young Adam. He sees Ryan, like the older Adam. And he's like, Adam. Just with the look he's giving him.
Oh man, it'd be crazy.
He doesn't pick it up, and he's wearing the jacket.
He's wearing the jacket. It would be crazy, because I'll bring it back up because we're jumping way too far ahead.
Derailing it, my bad.
I'll bring this theory back up when we talk about that. But oh, that's okay. So yeah. And by the end, like at end of the bar scene, Ryan Reynolds leaves and all that stuff. And then the mom kind of clicks in mom's head. It's just like, wait, what the hell? And then goes out to try and find him. Not there. And so, like, that's the last you kind of see of older Ryan Reynolds, like older Adam Reed and the mom. And so you're like, kind of, I wanted more
to the side.
Just like I wanted dude, more. I
was hoping for more,
but it does. More does come. Okay, but I will say that. But yeah, jumping forward,
really, I can keep.
Yeah, keep going.
I was gonna say we kind of jumping. We find out that he's really looking for his wife, Zoe Saldana. Yes. Mm-hmm. We find out that his dad is the one that really comes up with the formula, time travel, right? The algorithm or equation.
Yeah.
I don't really recall exactly what they said. And then our antagonist from the future shows up of who's chasing him.
Mm-hmm.
That turns out to be his dad's,
was his assistant.
I guess, right? It was, investor. Systemic investor, the one that invested in his project.
Yeah, something.
He's like the one that invested her money.
Yeah, and then so it was like, and I think it was a family friend, and because Adam recognized, like even younger, Adam was just like, wait, isn't that's her? And
He knows her, yeah.
And older Adam is just like, yeah, no, she actually turns out to be the worst person ever.
That was my only, qualm with this movie was that part of like, we're just kind of like given this information.
Yeah.
And we don't know who this person is. We haven't seen him yet. Like, so it's like kind of a disconnect. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it ends up working. Like, it's fine. But like at that moment, I'm like, who are you talking about? Who is this person all of a sudden that you both know?
Yeah.
But it makes up for it. I'm just saying, like, at that moment, I'm like, who? Like, I don't have a connection here.
Yeah, at that moment. And so...
it's my complaint.
Yeah, the antagonist... yeah, from the beginning, the antagonist is trying to chase him. That's what we see in the beginning. And now, like, he's caught up. She's caught up. And, yeah, we learn that, which with a very, like, heart-wrenching way... we learn why Ryan Reynolds is going back in time. And it's, in search of the wife, because it was, yeah, like older Adam had younger Adam get into a fight with the bullies. Younger Adam got pissed, went back home, went through his stuff. And then like older Adam like caught up, and then younger Adam's like, who's she? And older Adam's like, that's where we get introduced. And then we get to the point where they're hanging out. They're kind of doing the same mannerisms. They're eating the same way, like all that stuff. And then Ryan Reynolds is kind of looking around and just like, he's feeling like something's off. And we get this pretty badass fight scene. I'm not going to lie. That was a very badass fight scene. Because antagonist finds, him, younger Adam, and earlier in the movie, younger Adam asks older Adam, like, grabs his thing, and it's just like, is this a lightsaber? And he's like, no, it's not a lightsaber. And in the fight scene, he pulls it out, and he's just like, that is totally a lightsaber.
I wrote, when he first asked, like, is that a lightsaber? He's like, it's not a lightsaber. I wrote, I'm like, it's definitely a lightsaber.
It's definitely a lightsaber. You see it. It's just like, it's definitely a lightsaber, but... awesome scene, awesome fight scene. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of the fight scene, wife comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, I didn't understand that one either.
And so, this point in the movie, you're just like, okay, what?
It loses you for a little bit.
But any movie about time travel does that. Drastic change. Any movie about time travel does that. True. We watched Tenet.
I was just really enjoying... that. Right. It makes more sense at Tenet.
Yeah.
But I will say that, like, I was really just enjoying those two.
Mm-hmm.
So when we were taken away from that, I was like, kind of slightly disappointed, but it's still a great movie. Like, I'm like, okay, I'm still in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, it lost me for a little bit. And then it's like, his wife shows up out of nowhere. Okay, why is she there?
Yeah.
She's like, been waiting for him, apparently.
Yeah. So we get these two, like, yeah, I would say... whenever it was the two, we get these lighthearted, scenes and all that stuff. But then when we get, the wife and all that stuff, they escape from being chased and all that stuff. We go to the wife's hideout. Husband hasn't seen wife in a very long time. Asks younger Adam to leave. They do their thing. And then it gets to another. They do their thing.
Leave, boy. We're going to put the sock on the door. Leave. You got to go outside.
It's like, you need to go play. Go play with rocks.
Oh.
Give me 5 minutes.
You don't want to watch what's going to happen.
It's just like,
he's like, I only need 2 minutes. Just give me 2 minutes.
Give me 30 seconds. My new record.
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time. I haven't seen my wife in a very long time, but yeah, no.
My wife.
My wife.
It's just, my wife.
Oh my God. But.
Oh, Borat.
And then we go back to heart wrenching. Like, it's just.
This, and then she has to die.
She has to die. This movie goes lighthearted fun, and then I'm going to kick your heart in the dick. Like, that's this movie.
She knew that she was going to have to do this.
Yes.
She knew, like, she had that plan of, like, she's going to have to sacrifice herself because they're going to come find him.
Yep.
And he has to go. And stop from time travel being created to save the future.
Yeah, and seeing Ryan,
Christopher Nolan, this is how you do time travel movies.
This is how you do it. You make it make sense. But also, yeah, Christopher Nolan, you make great movies, I will say.
We love you.
We love you, but gosh dang, man.
Don't be offended by the last title of our last episode was just a joke, I swear.
Gosh dang. But no, heart-wrenching. And then Ryan Reynolds just makes the most heart-wrenching, like, guttural, like, yell. Just, like, he is so heartbroken at this point. Like, he has to watch his wife die twice. Like, he's already come to terms once that his wife died. And now he has to act, now that he knows.
Get your back.
Now that he knows that she's actually 30 okay.
30 seconds.
30 seconds. Just like, I only have 30 seconds. That's why I'm angry.
Pretty messed up, man.
If I knew this was happening, I would do it more. No. But
it would have lasted longer.
But gosh dang. But yeah, no, we and then we get to the point they, you know, ship is not broken anymore. They get to the ship and they say, like, hey, we gotta go find Dad. And so now they have this super dope with an awesome soundtrack again, chase music just
again
in spaceships. And I'm just like, I want a spaceship. I've always wanted one. Once technology gets there, I'm getting one. but gosh dang. It was also just funny that just seeing again back to these two, like we get back to these two and it's still just fun because Ryan Reynolds is
the sacrifice of his wife.
Yep.
Get to go back.
Like, he's just like, hey,
oh, thank goodness.
Thank God. It's just like no more depressing stuff.
Zoe Saldana. Great. But we want these two.
Which is a rip within itself because Zoe, yeah. But anyways, very beautiful woman. Anyways.
Yes.
Yeah, no, the chase scene in with the spaceships, we go back to lighthearted because Ryan Reynolds is flying. Of course, younger version is not buckled in, so he's just floating at this point while he's doing freaking nosedives and everything, and he's just floating in the air, hanging on to Ryan Reynolds' face, like, ah, help!
Yeah, that part was great.
But we
so much fun. And then get back to time travel. They get to go back in time.
Yep. Gotta go back in time. Sorry. Came to mind that song.
Is that a song?
Yeah.
An actual song?
Yeah, that's a good actual song. Gotta go back in time. I don't know who it's by, but anybody who knows that song?
They should have used that.
Back in time song. All right, I can't find it. I am not crazy, I promise.
What's up?
We go back in time, and then we see Mark Ruffalo teaching a college class, and then we have this reunion of younger self, older self, and the dad with two parallels of perspectives here, because I feel like, yeah, no, Ryan Reynolds just had a distaste, I feel like, towards his dad. And, of course, younger is just like, it's dad. Like, just like, this is fresh for me.
Well, yeah, like blaming him for not being there.
Not dying. Being there. And then come to find out, like, he's the godfather to time travel, basically.
Yeah.
And so we get introduced to that. They're just having conversation, having that time, explaining everything what's going on. And Mark Ruffalo is just like, you know, you probably can't even, like, how are you even hanging out with each other? Doesn't this mess with the space-time continuum or whatever? And, you know, Ryan Reynolds is just like, nope, it doesn't. It's a little different. It's not like the movies.
It might mess with it, though. I don't think it's good.
I don't think it's good, but, you know, it re... Okay, wait, no. I won't say that. Anyways, we go through this part, and of course, it's this balance of lighthearted fun and then another gut punch. And so you just... And then you have this conversation because Dad had to go back home because he has his life because they're in a different time. So there's even younger Adam Reed and he has to go back. And so you're left with these two and they have a very serious conversation of just like, you know, when did you become like so stupid? And, you know, the younger self talking to the older self and you have this like, yeah, you just have this weird moment of like, how would it be to talk to your younger self and have your younger self give you advice?
I love that.
And I was just like, gosh dang.
Yeah, I really liked that part too, because I was like, God, I wish I could have that. What would you say, you know?
And it's just like, what would you say? And it's just like, you would go back, and we said it in the beginning, like, yeah, like if we were to go back in time to our 12-year-old self, we would say, you know, he was insufferable and annoying.
F you.
But at the same time, like that's where he had the most life, the joy. And so you would ask like, how do you see it? What's your perspective on it? And so it's just it was a weird time, but it was also like, it's very fruitful because you had this moment of clarity of just like, when did you become so smart? And just like, well, when did you become so dumb? Like, it's just like, oh gosh. Okay. Time really affected us differently, but then they come to the plan where it's just like, well, we got to go destroy the thing that, you know, made the time travel like actually exist. And so they have to go basically to the antagonist's lair and destroy the machine that their dad basically made.
When we find out she's talking with her younger self too.
Yeah.
She's influencing her mm-hmm. in the past, and how they kill her off is so freaking cool.
Oh yeah, I thought that was dope. But that it was definitely cool. Yeah. The motive behind it was the older self. Well, yeah, the older self went back in time to tell the younger self what to invest in, so she could become super rich, and then just kept on going back in time to just keep on collecting that money. And so that's when we see like younger self and older self.
The interesting part was that her younger self wasn't corrupted.
Yeah.
She knew, like, seeing yourself become that. I feel like she purposely put herself standing there.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a, you know, electromagnet. It was a magnet.
Yeah.
So when it's collapsing, you know, everything metal and everything's getting sucked into it.
Mm-hmm.
As everything's breaking down and already explode.
Yeah. Also, that
she pretty much shoots herself.
Yeah, she shoots herself. So like, you kind of get this feeling throughout the movie. It's just like, holy crap! Like, is the whole entire perception that our younger selves are actually like way more better than our older selves because we let time affect us that way? And it's like, gosh, dang, this movie hits deep.
Yeah.
And so, but that fight, exactly what it's saying. That fight scene with when the younger,
just does the superhero landing.
It's just like superhero landing.
Like nice. Superhero landing. Supper time spanky is what he says. Supper time spanky. Right. The older one's like, nope.
So, yeah, nope. Supper time, Mr. Spanky is just like, nope. That's not it either. Because he tried this before with fighting.
Right away. He does not last.
He does not last. He gets, doesn't die, but he just gets disarmed very quickly.
But he gets to use the lightsaber.
He got to spin it around for a little bit and seem cool. And then, yeah. Right. And so he got clapped really quickly. But yeah, no. Younger self of the antagonist gets shot, and you know, now this thing is really collapsing, because that's what they were going to do, is just basically destroy the machine. But now this thing is like, oh, this is dangerous, and like, we need to get out of here.
That was really dangerous because you don't know the area that caused damage. Like, you don't know. I feel like there's a lot of uncertainty of the radius of the damage that's going to be done.
Yeah, nobody.
Like, who knows how, like, if.
That could have been a nuke.
Mark Ruffalo being like the guy that created it. I know, right? It's like, did you think this one through?
Yeah, and
it was all like, how far is this going to explode?
Yeah. If I remember correctly, he did say it's just like, this is either going to just turn off or this is going to decimate a 5-mile radius.
Take a risk. I was like, so we're just taking a chance. We're just taking a chance here.
It's like, at that point, just wing it.
Win it live.
Yeah, we forgot to say, like, the dad left at the hotel, you know, when they were having that conversation. The dad left to go do his thing, and, you know, then we kind of see, we see a conversation of, like, Mark Ruffalo and the mom, and very young, and it's just like, and he asks, like, a very, like, heart-wrenching question. He's just like, am I a good dad? And it's just like, oh! It's just like, you gotta imagine. Because he's just like, he's seen older and then very old, and he's just like, gosh dang. And but older. He comes back to help out his sons do this mission. They inevitably succeed. The thing is destroyed. They get out of there. Time trial, the machine breaks, and they are walking back to the house that you know they grew up in, and they're saying like, so what's gonna happen? It's just like, we're gonna reset back to our times. Like, it's just gonna happen. And they're saying like,
takes some time. We don't know how long it's gonna take.
We don't know how long it's gonna take, but they're walking back and they're walking into the house, and it's just like, yeah, I'm starting to feel it. Like, I'm starting to feel something. But then it gets to that point. And also, I did say that theory of the dad knowing who the older Adam. What if the dad went into the future to see his son from afar? Just to see, like, how did my son grow up?
But, an interesting theory.
But so that's probably why he was so concerned of, like, aren't you going to mess with the space-time continuum? Because that's probably, he went into the future, couldn't talk to the sun to mess with anything. And so it's like,
yeah, because you're not supposed to actually interfere.
You're not supposed to interfere with the linear theory of time. But
right.
Yeah, we get to the point, the most, gosh, it's so heart-wrenching because, first of all, like, older, like, Ryan Reynolds' character has been holding on to this grudge, this regret, this hatred towards his father. And then he hears the thing that he's always wanted to hear, which was, like, I'm proud of you. It's just like, I've always been,
I wrote down, I'm leaking, because all of a sudden I'm watching and I'm just like, all of a sudden I realize I'm crying. It wasn't like an ugly cry. It was just tears coming. Oh, so that's happening now. Thanks a lot. Okay.
One sec. What's up?
Okay. Are you down? See,
I might be. What's the... We're almost done. Yeah, no, like that scene, I know, like I was fighting back tears because I'm like,
like, well, I just let it happen.
Yeah, no, they're like, my chest was tightening. I'm like, oh no, I'm not. Just like, I had people, when the first time I watched this, I had people around me, so I'm like,
oh yeah, you're like, can't show emotion.
Just like I'm a man, can't show emotion. I can't show a man. No,
crying's for babies.
I will let out a good cry, but at that point, I was like, nah, I'm not gonna let this.
But you know, it's the Adam Project.
I'm not gonna let the Adam Project get me. Like, but no, like the
out of nowhere. That was what got me. I was like, I did not expect it to hit like that.
Yeah, and it's just like, gosh dang, like Mark Ruffalo. And
they're playing catch. Oh, freaking playing catch.
It's just,
and
like,
then he turns around and they're not there.
That hurt. That was when I almost lost it.
So much.
That's when
I lost it.
I remember first time watching it, that's when I went like just out loud, and everybody was just like, huh? And there was a few other people who were just...
How are you not feeling emotion?
Just flat out crying at that point. And I'm just here like...
No one else... With the people you were watching with, were they not crying?
Oh, you know, the girls were crying, but the dudes were just like...
a robot.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Robots.
Freaking robots, dude.
They are not human.
They are not
human. They're robots. You have cyborgs.
I wouldn't doubt it. It's Terminator all over again. But heart-wrenching scene. Yeah, the one. It's just like, what's the last thing that we're going to do? Like, hey, let's play catch. And I'm like, ah! And then he goes to...
You're like, you know it.
And it's the soundtrack, which is just the most emotional, like, scene. And then you see the younger Adam and older Adam look at each other like, yep, it's about that time. Like, you can feel it. And then Ryan Reynolds throws the ball purposely a little bit too far. And then Mark Ruffalo turns around and they're gone. And then, we see
that.
Go ahead.
Younger one, you know, actually gives his mom a hug and he's listened to his older self. And then the older self and Zoe Saldana meet each other again the same way.
Yeah. And I would assume that that's from the younger Adam all grown up to that point.
Right.
Of like,
yeah. The future's not like crappy.
Yeah. The future's not crappy, but and all that stuff. And yeah, I let out a little happy tear. I remember that because it was just like, well, I found you. And I was, and they had like, it just clicked for both of them, it looked like. And I was just like, they found each other. Like they promised.
I was out of tears by that point.
Just like, I had no, just like, gosh dang. But all right.
That is two movies that I would recommend for people.
Yeah.
I've never seen any one of them. Yesterday and Adam Project.
Two movies that, Adam Project is more of like the balance of feel good and heartbreak and reality. Yesterday is just a fun movie. Yeah, it has some points, but you can laugh at Jack because he's an idiot. But then he kind of figures it out. He figures it out at the end. He's a lovable idiot. And aren't we all?
Yes.
I'm definitely a lovable idiot, I guess. But...
I like to think so.
But, these two movies were good. But next episode, gosh dang, what are we watching?
No, that is a good question. I like to just kind of come up with them on the spot, honestly. You have an idea of what you are going to recommend?
I got a recommendation. It's a new movie. Haven't seen it yet. Saved it purposely for the podcast. But Ricky Stenicki.
Just was looking at that too.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, Ricky Stenicki. That's a new one out, and I was excited. So I was like, yeah, let's watch that for the podcast.
And I'm going to go a little bit different then, because I was thinking about this one.
Okay.
And I'm recommending Paint with Owen Wilson. He's like a Bob Ross kind of character.
Okay. I think
I've heard this. Like mixed reviews. So I was like, let's do one that is not like, it's not as positively reviewed. I don't know. I've never seen it. So
Owen Wilson. Wow.
Wow.
So I honestly thought you were going to recommend Escanaba into Moonlight.
Let's do that one. I'll scratch that. We're going to say we're actually doing Escanaba into Moonlight. I'm going to edit that part about pain.
We're doing Escanaba into Moonlight. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
I just want to watch it.
Yeah,
watch it.
I will say I watched it with Daniel and Kel. Bro, they were laughing so much.
They love it.
They loved it because they could tell like, oh, dude, it's just trolls. This is not a serious movie at all. It really isn't.
No.
they're okay, but we'll save that for the next episode. But I'm excited. Okay. Ricky Stenicki and Escanaba in the Moonlight.
Ricky Stenicki and Escanaba. That's quite a combination.
That is.
Before we get to our trivia, is my battery is getting a little bit lower. Any video games?
Oh, man. I'd love to say that I've been playing something else. It's been the same.
Helldivers 2.
It's been the same freaking... Mostly because of the fact that, like, things have gotten a little bit busier and my time for, like, free time is gone down. But when I do have the time, it usually is just hopping on Helldivers with the buddies. And we also... Okay, there is another game that we've been playing here and there for recording purposes. We've been playing Escape the Backrooms, which is a horror game that basically it's like the Backrooms is like this parallel universe that isn't supposed to make sense. So you're getting like messed up creatures and paraliminal spaces and freaking like dreamscape turned nightmare kind of things. And you're just like trying to escape it, but there's thousands. It's called the Backrooms. And you think like, oh, there's only a few rooms. There's like thousands of rooms that you can accidentally just fall into. Like, cause how you get into the Backrooms is supposedly you just no clip out of reality. So like if you trip, you just fall in to the Backrooms. Like you don't fall on the concrete. You just fall into the ground and you're in the Backrooms. And it's like, frick, just trying to get out.
That sounds really good. I've just been playing Hogwarts Legacy.
Hey, there we go. So yeah, I've been playing those two, but guys, dang. Yeah, no.
All I got.
Video games have definitely, like, love video games, just I haven't had the time for it.
Me neither. I've been way too with this, and then learning UX design. I was watching the Nickelodeon Quiet on Set documentary with
Fudge.
That's brutal to watch, man.
That actually, like...
Everyone's childhood.
Definitely, like, a lot of the shows that I used to watch is ruined. And, like, I've seen like, the up-to-date pictures of some of those actors, and I'm like, wow. Like, you're broken, dude. Like, just broken people.
Right.
And it's just like, gosh, dang. Just, like, pray for those people, dude, because at this point, what they've been through, it's... Oh, my gosh. If anybody, little something, if you want your childhood to be broken, watch Quiet on Set.
That's one way to do it.
It's
really tough. It's tough to watch, but I think it's important, but it's just really depressing.
It is, and it's a tough pill to swallow. But it's also sucks. Like, you kind of always knew because you know how dark and deceptive Hollywood really is. But you would just hope not. You would just hope for the best.
Not all of Hollywood, but...
Not all of Hollywood, but a lot of the...
I know. It's kind of the history.
Yeah, it's just... Yeah, you can't really... I refract that statement. I'll say, like, not all of Hollywood, but definitely Hollywood gets a bad rep. Because it gets overgeneralized. Because
there are creepy pedophiles in there that show up. I mean, that's anywhere though. I mean, there's Catholic priest. Probably no teachers, but I'm sure that's happened.
That's definitely happened, sadly.
Oh. Mm. They get through those creepy bastards.
Freaking
out. Right, you ready? On a lighter note, let's do movies for
film. Oh my gosh. Alright. I am not ready. Alright, here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Here we go. Quote number one. Ready?
Yep.
Inconceivable.
Okay, Princess
Bride. One word quote. Okay, you said Princess Bride.
Yep.
Okay.
We got
no one could see that.
No one could see that. I'm just going to let everybody know. Josh just did his classic professor just lick the freaking pen on his tongue. Lick like, oh, yeah, I guess.
That's right.
Just like, you dumbass, that wasn't right.
Don't even need to do that anymore. All right, here we go. Number two. I'll do, pig. I'll do.
Frick. Oh, no.
Frick? Is Frick?
No, that is, no, that is not my guess.
Okay, just check it.
No! Oh, that'll do, pig. Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue. I just can't. Oh. Frick. That's just. That'll do, pig.
Take a guess, man.
God. I just can't think of anything that'll make sense.
I think on previous episodes we have definitely made guesses that make no sense.
Oh my gosh, I'm just frick. Great Outdoors, I don't know. I'm just gonna go for the jokes. Great now
Outdoors. Okay, got it.
Great Outdoors.
You know, that's a movie to do.
Yeah.
Alright, here we go. Number three. You can't handle the truth.
Top Gun.
Top Gun. Okay.
Feeling pretty confident on that one.
Number four.
Is the quote just silence?
It's
a silent movie. Fudge. Ah, man. I know this line, too.
No, all right, here we go. I got that. This ties in really well with yesterday, so I'll have what she's having.
Ooh. Gosh dang. That's When Harry Met Sally.
Last one. Houston, we have a problem.
Gosh, freaking, I don't know, Apollo 13? Freaking, I don't know. There could be like any, I could say like Interstellar, right. And it's a space movie. I feel like at some point maybe they said that, Houston, we have a problem.
Maybe. I think, you know, Christopher Nolan might have thrown that in.
Maybe.
All right, so our first one was Inconceivable. You said The Princess Bride. That is correct, sir.
Woo!
Nicely done.
Yeah.
Okay. Number two, one I said, was that'll do, pig, that'll do. And I can't remember what you said.
I said The Great Outdoors for shits and giggles.
That's right. It's definitely Babe. It is not The Great Outdoors.
Okay, well, I've never seen Babe, so.
I don't think I've ever. I think I've watched it once at school, and I don't remember it.
That's fair.
It's always in these like top like movie quotes for some reason.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, it's like Babe.
Okay, number three. Guess. Let's see. I said the quote was, "You can't handle the truth," and you said Top Gun. Correct?
Yep.
Yeah, that was wrong. That's A Few Good Men.
Oh, so
that's
shit.
Okay.
I said Top Gun and I was confident.
I gave you I'll Have What She's Having. And you said When Harry Met Sally.
Yep.
And that is correct, actually.
That's
number two for you. And finally, when I wrote what I said, gosh, what was it?
Just got a
please
list.
Remember to subscribe to our podcast, people. And we could pay someone to do this.
That'd be awesome.
Gosh. Oh, Houston, we have a problem. You said Apollo 13. You are correct. That's 3 out of 5. I think that might have been your best one.
Yes! All right! Frick yeah.
That is improvement, sir.
That's improvement. One of these days I'll get a 5 out of 5.
One of us will.
One of us. You know, hopefully.
One of us.
It shows that, hey, we still have a life outside of movies, so that's one good thing.
No, I kind of thought we started this podcast doing the movie trivia thing. I'm like, oh, we're going to get 5 out of 5s, and it will show how much of a... not a life that we have, but apparently we have a life.
We have a life.
Lives. Good for us.
Good for us. Go us. Yeah.
Yay us.
Yay for us. Maybe we don't have, but we still have a shit ton of useless information in our brains.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Useless information.
Yeah.
Talking about movies on a podcast, people.
Yeah. We're talking about enjoy movies, games, and we're quoting each other. Well, not quoting, but we're doing quotes, trying to test each other. What a podcast, am I right? Just sitting here.
I love it.
Two dudes talk about movies. And next episode.
If you like that,
yes.
You should subscribe and follow.
Show your friends.
Blue suit, jacket from Adam. Yeah, share with your friends. I get PS5. Maybe we can make this a thing.
Make it a thing.
So our next two movies.
Ricky Stinky and Escanaba in the Moonlight.
Escanaba in the Moonlight.
Oh, what a!
I think everyone's gonna thank us for this, so make sure you watch those movies so this makes sense.
Yeah, because definitely, I will say, warning: watch Escanaba into Moonlight. So maybe because even if we try to explain the whole entire movie, you're still never gonna. You're gonna be like, "What
like,
kind of movie is that?" It's like it is
glorious.
It is a Jeff great Daniels. Movie. It is not meant to be taken seriously. And if you try to take it seriously,
based on a play, so
yeah. But Jeff Daniels and my favorite character. But we'll get into that. We'll get into that next episode.
I can't wait, man.
I can't wait.
Break this down
because it's going to be so many. All right, jokes. Everyone.
So many
jokes.
And people probably won't get it at all because they won't watch it like they're supposed to.
Gosh, dang.
Watch the movie before the episode. Trust us.
Watch the movie or you'll get hit by a bus and only remember the Beatles, which at that point, not a bad idea.
Still a terrifying concept.
Yeah, a world without Beatles? Nah.
And no Harry Potter.
And no Harry Potter. And no cigarettes.
That means I can't Hogwarts. No cigarettes. I mean, I guess I can live with that, but still.
But still. But man... Oasis, cigarette. Wonderwall.
8-9.
I need my Wonderwall.
Yeah, that would be really depressing too.
That may be. Okay, I'm not going to get into that. All right, we'll see you guys in the next episode.
All right, we'll see you next time.